Right now, we're looking at a new study published last week in the journal Nature that's rewritten the dinosaur family tree in a way that has many dino lovers reeling.
Gemma Tarlak has the details. She's a senior editor at Discover Magazine based in Waukesha. Gemma, welcome back.
Oh, my gosh. So great to be with you guys.
And this is big news. I read your piece, and then I read Ed Wong in The Atlantic, who said he audibly gasped when he read the study. Why is this such a big deal, Gemma?
Well, this is a huge deal because since 1887, I mean, that's how far back the family tree we thought we knew goes. Since 1887, we have thought it's the first thing you learn in a dinosaur paleontology class. Dinosaurs are divided into two groups. And this new study has come in and said, yeah, they're still divided into two groups, but they're not divided the way we thought they were. They're divided in different ways, and dinosaurs that we once thought were really not even closely related to each other turn out to be like kissing cousins. So this is a huge shuffle up of, you know, I think it's kind of on par with realizing that dinosaurs are the ancestors of birds. You know, it's one of those things that just makes you stop and go, whoa.
Well, let's look at what may now be the old model, and it's kind of a hippie model, as I understand it, because it's based on dinosaur hips.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, Shakira sang, hips don't lie, but she was wrong.
But yeah. Well done, Gemma. I applaud this.
With these two groups of dinosaurs, these are the old school groups, again, around since 1887, you had one group called Saurischia, or lizard hips. And within the Saurischians, you had sauropods, or sauropodomorphs. Those are, you know, brontosaurus, the big old cows of the dinosaur era. You know, the long neck, long tail, huge guts for digesting all the delicious vegetation they were eating. And the other bunch in that group were called theropods. And those were the bitey things, velociraptors, T-Rex, kind of all the real famous villains of the dinosaur world, the toothy ones. So that's one, that's the old group A. And the old group B was called Ornithischia. And those were kind of the wacky dinosaurs that they were herbivores, all of them. And they were things like Stegosaurus and Triceratops. And you got into the duck-billed dinosaurs, which were things like Pachycephalosaurus. And I'm just going to stop right now reeling off species lists because I'm getting so excited. I'm literally bouncing up and down in my chair like a child right now. So anyway, these are your two dinosaur groups. And the division, which was made back in the late 19th century, was, again, by the hip structure. The Saurischians, or the lizard hips, had pubis that pointed forward, and the Ornithischians, or the bird hips, which have no relation to bird whatsoever, they actually had a pubis that points backwards, as it happens to do in modern birds. So, you know, these, when you think about it, these very early paleontologists back in the late 19th century, they're looking at these strange bones, they're trying to make sense of them, and they really started dividing dinosaurs up by what they could see with the naked eye, or, you know, with a late 19th century microscope. So they were really, you know, they had no ability to crunch data like we do today, to look at really fine variations from one sample to the next. So based on what they saw and could see easily, they made these two divisions. Now this Nature paper comes along, and they crunched the data. They looked at more than 450 characteristics across 74 different groups of both dinosaurs and dinosauromorphs, which are kind of not quite dinosaurs. They were evolving in that direction, but they don't fall in the dinosaur group. They looked at 450 characteristics, and they really crunched the data, looking at all different samples, all different specimens, finding those traits that, you know, the late 19th century paleontologists were not able to discern. And so they came up with these new groups. You're still there, right?
Still listening. Yeah, no, it's a lot to take in.
Again, bouncing up and down in my chair. So, okay, so the two new groups, we've still got Saurischia. They're still around. But now that includes only the sauropods and the sauropodomorphs. So only Brontosaurus and Titanosaurus and all the other long-necked, long-tailed, big-bellied herbivores. That's what Saurischia is now. Meanwhile, we've done away with Ornithischia. It's gone. The bird hip dinosaurs are gone. Instead, they're proposing this new group called Ornithocelata. And basically, in this group, you've still got the old Ornithischians. You've got your Stegosaurus and your Pachycephalosaurus and your Hadrosaurus. But now you've also got the theropods. You've got T-Rex and Velociraptor and all the bipedal carnivores that once we thought they were like way, way far away on the evolutionary family tree from Ornithischia, and now they're all in the same boat. So this is mind-blowing, and I'm just going to sit here and bounce up and down in my chair for a while.
So what does this do if you're a paleontologist? Do you have to burn all your old research and start from scratch? How does this change things going forward?
Well, I think a lot of people are still in a state of shock. And I think, you know, quite frankly, probably if you walked up to a 7-year-old and you said, hey, there's this new dinosaur group, they would be like, oh, grown-ups lie all the time. Like, we're all just kind of, what? But I think what's going to happen now, and I love that the authors of the paper, they admit this. They're like, look, we know this is crazy, and we want more research. We want to find more evidence in the fossil record. We want to crunch more data. We want other scientists to look at our data and really pick it apart. But if this is proven, if we now have to reorganize the dinosaur family tree, you literally have to start from scratch. You have to start from the very earliest evolution of dinosaurs and change the textbooks, rewrite everything. One other interesting thing about this paper, and there's tons of interesting stuff in it, is that they also push back when we think dinosaurs evolved. Right now, the language is around 230 million years ago, a little bit before 230 million years ago. This paper, looking at the different traits and how long they would have taken to evolve, they're pushing it way back to 247 million years ago. So when people rewrite the textbooks, they're going to have to rewrite that part too.
Talking to Gemma Tarlak from Discover Magazine, based in Waukesha, looking at new research that shakes up the dinosaur family tree. Gemma, I read that at some point there was a question that, hey, maybe some things we call dinosaurs now, Brontosaurus, I think might have been one of them, depending on how we slice and dice our definitions, might be taken out of the dinosaur group altogether. That didn't happen, it sounds like, though.
No. I mean, pretty much what we classify as dinosaurs are still dinosaurs. One of the kind of minor things about the paper, one of the minor details, is talking about the Hererosauridae. And they were very, very early dinosaurs. I've seen some papers in the past group them into dinosauromorphs, which were the super early, not quite dinosaurs animals. But this paper, as well as others I've seen, does say, yeah, these were legitimate dinosaurs. So that may be where some of the issues rise. But, you know, I'm glad you brought up Brontosaurus, because that was kind of another bombshell a couple years ago, where for a long time, Brontosaurus was kind of he was the Pluto of the dinosaur world, and that, you know, he wasn't a real species. And it was just something kind of a mistake, or maybe, you know, maybe a little bit of a fabrication or a misunderstanding in the early 20th century. Then again, this paleontologist comes out and really crunches the data, looks at thousands of different data points, something you could not have done late 19th, early 20th century, and just looking at those data points, crunching the data, finding the very minor traits, and being able to rebuild and relook at where Brontosaurus fits in, came to the conclusion that, yeah, Brontosaurus, it's a real dinosaur. It's a legitimate, separate species. It's not just a juvenile Apatosaurus. So I think what's really interesting about paleontology is that more and more it's moving into the hard sciences, where, you know, 50 years ago, it was all about finding a bone, looking at the bone, comparing the bone to other dinosaurs, living animals, and trying to figure it out that way. And now, I mean, the way they are able to collect data points and process them and just build incredible ways of looking at information we didn't even have a couple decades ago, the picture is becoming more and more clear.
And it sounds like this research could have some bearing on feathers on dinosaurs, because there were feathered dinosaurs, but it sounds like, you know, we might know more about when feathers appeared or disappeared with dinosaurs.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the interesting things about feathers is that pretty much almost all of the feathers around have been found on theropods. And if theropods were in the old dinosaur group A, and they've been taken out of that dinosaur group A and put in this new Ornithosaurida dinosaur group, with some of these other dinosaurs that the few times we've found feathers on something other than theropods, it has been on these other dinosaurs, like some of the duck-billed dinosaurs, for example. And now that they're in a group together, it does raise the question, well, what else had feathers within that group. But right now they're not saying that particular having feathers or not having feathers was not one of the characteristics they really looked at. In this new paper, they were looking at things like, you know, the shape of the ridge in one of the digit bones, for example. I mean, it's pretty granular kind of stuff, or the shape of the orbital window, for example. They were looking at very specific detail. So feathers were still, you know, still a couple questions out on that, but it does raise some really interesting questions.
As I understand it, this new research gets into some issues of where, when it comes to dinosaurs and where they evolved, and that might shake things up too.
Yeah, that was, you know, as I was reading this paper, literally I was sitting in my office going, what? Oh, you've got to be kidding me. Because, you know, for the longest time, the most primitive dinosaurs, including Herrerasaurus, which I mentioned some people don't think is quite a dinosaur, these dinosaurs were found basically in South America, a little bit in Eastern Africa, but these are Southern Hemisphere animals. And now, again, because of their data crunching, this new study is saying, actually, we think the cradle of dinosaurs may have been in the Northern Hemisphere. So that's another kind of bomb they dropped into the field. But, you know, a lot more research is needed to figure out if they're on the ball or not.
So, Gemma, you mentioned the rewriting of textbooks, et cetera, et cetera. But there's one paper, you know, one collection of data points. So does that mean that we're going to have to really wait, you know, maybe 5 or 10 years until we know whether this is the new prevailing wisdom about dinosaurs?
Well, you know, with any huge shift in the field, and for example, the whole idea of dinosaurs descending from dinosaurs being the ancestors of birds. I'm sorry, I'm so excited, I can't even talk straight. But the whole idea of birds descending from dinosaurs, that was actually first proposed several decades before it was really accepted by the field. So this may be that moment where someone has looked at the data in a new way and made new connections, and now we're going to go through years and years of people picking apart the research, as they should, and trying to prove them wrong. I mean, that's how science advances. You come up with an idea, you test it, and then you and other people try to pick it apart and prove yourself wrong. So it may take decades, but just the way the field is advancing in terms of our ability to process information, whether it be how we look at a fossil, you know, the new techniques that they use to look at fossils, or whether it be the new algorithms we can build to process data, it all comes down to, you know, how fast can we figure this out? And I bet we're going to see a much faster picking apart and testing of this hypothesis to figure out if it's legitimate or if we need to keep those old textbooks around for a little while.
And very briefly, Gemma, given the state of the art and research, are we going to keep seeing bombshells like this in the dinosaur world?
I don't know that there are that many more bombshells to drop on this level, but, you know, we'll see. There's always the next fossil that's sitting there in the ground waiting to be found, and there's always the next new idea that a paleontologist sitting at their computer has and decides to test. So maybe.
We'll leave it there, Gemma. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
That's Gemma Tarlak with Discover Magazine based in Waukesha. She joined us to look at a new study that rewrites the dinosaur family tree. Find a link to her blog post at the Central Time Facebook page.